lesson in this book of Colossians. And each week, hopefully not like a broken record, but we have mentioned the purpose of Paul's writing, that he wrote to warn against false teachers that were creeping into the church, to remind them of who Jesus is, and to remind them of what Jesus has done. And we wrap up this emphasis today and move on, because in chapters 3 and 4 of Colossians, it's very, very applicational. The chapters 1 and 2 were very doctrinal and good for us in that, and getting that set in our hearts and minds. And now in chapters 3 and 4, he moves on and says, okay, now I'm going to tell you now what to do with that, how you're to live for me. So let's pick it up in verse 16 of chapter 2. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? The do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So what Paul is saying here today, as he moves on in his letter, he is saying, in light of who Jesus is, in light of what Jesus has done in those two previous verses that we looked at last week, that he took the handwriting of requirements that was against us and he nailed them to the cross. In light of that, he said, don't let anyone judge you in these things. Don't let anyone condemn you. Don't let anyone guilt you into. Don't let anyone trick you. And don't let anyone pull you away in any form whatsoever into these things that he just laid out, which are legalism, mysticism, or asceticism. And that legalism that he speaks about, legalism is adding to the finished work of the cross. It is adding rules and regulations to what God has laid out that he didn't. If he added them, that's fine. But if man adds them, it's legalism. And he points out a few. Eating certain foods and not eating certain foods. Where you can eat this, but you can't eat that. You can drink this, but you can't drink that. You can eat this, but you can't eat this on this day. Or those types of things. It's legalism. Or observing festivals or new moons or any kind of ordinance or any kind of ritual that man has made up. Or keeping the Sabbath, which Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all those things. He is the Lord over the Sabbath. We are not called into legalism. He freed us from legalism. And Jesus fulfilled the law. We're no longer under the law. Remember that the law was there as a guide to point us to Jesus. And as Paul speaks, he said they're a shadow of things to come. But the substance is Christ. They were just a picture. They were just a guide of the things to come. They weren't it. So don't stay in bondage to them. The substance is in Christ. Then that mysticism. He spoke in verse 18 about the worship of angels. And the Gnostics, they were into that secret knowledge. It was just man-made things. The secret knowledge, basically all the oohs and the ahs and the touchy-feely kind of so-called spiritual things. And he's saying, Paul is saying, don't let anybody trick you into that, and don't let anybody judge you that you're not following that. He said that they just intrude into things which they have not seen, they know nothing about. Someone made them up. So why follow them? And then that asceticism, which is a word that we really don't use, but it means all the do-nots, that denial of self to the extreme. And he points that out in verse 21, the do-not, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, with the idea of that you would be more spiritual or come across as more spiritual or more in tune with God if you tortured your flesh. If you had, again, it's still legalism. You're making up these rules thinking that you're better or going to attain something. And, you know, it's like these monks that go and they just wear the itchy clothing and they're going to live off of bread and water and that kind of a thing where God has not commanded us to do. And other things that we can make up in our own minds. None of these. Legalism, mysticism, or asceticism. Adding to the finished work of the cross, or worshiping angels, or any other thing, or following secret things, things that are man-made, or taking away, denying, so that we can gain. None of these things that he is speaking of do anything whatsoever for our inner man. They do not help us spiritually. We gain absolutely nothing from the Lord in following these things. Obviously, a lot of people think that they do, because there are a lot of religions and cults and things out there that's what they're based on, is legalism or mysticism or that swinging way the other way with the asceticism, just the living so base and so tortured that they think that they are gaining. He tells us in verse 19, if you do those things, you are cutting yourself away from the head. You aren't drawing closer. Which was the whole idea, where they're thinking they are drawing closer. Paul says, you're not drawing closer. You're cutting yourself off from the head. Jesus is the head. So you're not getting closer to him. You're getting further away from him. Verse 23, he calls it a self-imposed religion. Man-made. It's not God-ordained. It's self-imposed religion. It has the appearance of being spiritual, but it isn't. The bottom falls out. Paul wrote to the Galatians kind of about the same thing. And because in these times there were so many Jewish believers, the Judaizers, that would try to get these Gentile Christians to come under the law. And then there was the Gnostics and everything else. But from day one, of course, the enemy opposed the gospel and the freedom of the gospel. But so Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said to them in 3:3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? He speaks to the Galatians. He speaks to the Colossians. He speaks to us today. If we've begun in the Spirit, then why add all those other things in your flesh? You're not doing any good. It's, again, not getting you closer to, it's cutting us away. He wrote again to the Galatians in 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the freedom that you have. Don't get tangled up. And that's what it is. It's just complicating it. And he wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, beware, I fear, lest Satan has beguiled you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. simplicity and all of these things complicated. Life can be too complicating by itself. Why add to that when Jesus has laid it out? In fact, he said in John 8:36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." He has made us free. He came and he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all those requirements that were against us. Why take them back on? If we are complete in him, then adding to or taking away doesn't do any good. How can you improve on being complete? If you're complete, you're complete. You don't need anything more or anything less or anything different. It's wrong. It's sin when we do that. When we add to, when we take away, or when we do something different that is not of him. And it really is an affront to him. Because what we're saying is, that's not good enough. I'll do it my way. I'm improving. How can we improve on perfection? We can't. Now he's warning these believers. Don't get caught in this trap. Don't be deceived. And this is our ninth lesson, and we've talked week after week after week about being aware by exalting Jesus and knowing the truth. Because the truth sets you free. And so here he is warning them and warning us. And I want to take the application in a little bit different direction this morning. I read through this several times and through several different translations. And I just keep asking the question, why do people, if this is what they have in Christ, why do people continually put themselves in a legalistic religion or part of the body of Christ or doing it to themselves? Why? Why do we want to add to what is already complete and perfect? Why in the world would you want to worship angels? Why would you want to worship the stars or anything that is created? Why is that? Why do people, not everybody, but some people, why do they want to seek out secret things, touchy-feely, mystical things? What is it? Why do people want to go to the other extreme and so deny their flesh, torture their flesh? For what purpose? It's not gaining them anything. Why is that? You know, the flesh and this human nature that we have, for some sick, sinful reason, we love legalism. We love the whole idea of all the fastings. Remember the Pharisees? Where they, when they fasted, everyone knew they fasted. And Jesus came and said, when you fast, don't tell anybody. Just get dressed, wash your face, and act like you're not fasting. But they loved that. And this, they're keeping the regulations and the not eating this and eating that. And you know, no, I don't eat meat. The flesh loves those kind of things. Or observing special holidays or festivals or ordinances or disciplining the body again in an extreme way of, well, I don't do that. I don't do that. Why? What is that? What is it within us? You know, it makes people feel spiritual. It makes people feel like, now they have done something to attain to this spiritual state. They have done something to be in tune with God. And really, the bottom line, it is pride. It really is pride. When you look at legalism, you look at mysticism, you look at the asceticism, or really any other ism, anything like that. It's bottom line, it's pride. It is pride. Whether a person has been deceived or persuaded into a religious system or whatever, and maybe totally ignorant at the beginning. But why when you stay there, there could be this sense of I'm feeling like I'm doing something, and it may come across as being humble, but it's pride. Or you have the other extreme. If I initiate it all because I think it's better, I think this is what I am supposed to do. It's pride and it's self-righteousness. It really is self-righteousness. Now, we mentioned last week that our flesh has really a hard time accepting what Paul wrote in Romans 7:18, which is, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Because you can know that. We all know that. And we all agree with that. But sometimes your flesh disagrees with you. Because for some reason, we still want to think that something in us is good. That we can do some good thing. I like the New Living Translation in this. And it says, "I know I am rotten through and through." It's probably a good translation to memorize. I know I am rotten through and through. There's no good thing. It's rotten. There's nothing I can do. Paul wrote to Titus in 3:5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Now, probably most of us, if not all of us, we know, we have accepted, we believe, there is no doubt about it, that we had absolutely nothing to do with our salvation. We know that we didn't earn it. We know that there's no legalism or any other kind of thing. We could not have earned that. It is a gift. We all know that. But even when we know that, as we walk with the Lord, and it doesn't matter who we are, because we are all like in our natural fleshly natures. We're all the same, that sinful self. We sometimes think, even after walking with the Lord, and it can be a day-to-day kind of a thing, that now that we're saved, we know that, but now we need to kind of keep ourselves. We need to kind of keep these rules, these regulations, whatever it might be, to keep or earn God's love, to gain his favor in our lives. Because if we keep these rules and regulations that he never said to do, but we're really good at making up our own. Now, I don't think there's a person in this room who has not made up a rule before, a little spiritual rule before in their life, thinking that if they do this thing, then God will love them more, or he will be more pleased with them. So we think that, or we can think, well, if I deny myself, no, we don't have TV. No, I don't go there. Those kind of things that were more pleasing to the Lord. We are gaining his love. We're keeping his love. And then when we do that good thing, when we keep that rule that we've made up, because I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read 5 chapters now. I was reading 3. Now I'm going to read 5. And I'm doing that, and I'm really feeling very good about myself. And if I feel good about it, then the Lord must be really pleased with what I am doing. Or, again, if when we deny ourselves of that thing, "Lord, you told me not to do that. You think he told you, and I'm not going to do that. I didn't do it today. And now we're feeling good about it. Therefore, the Lord is feeling good about it." But it isn't true. It isn't true. He's sitting there watching, thinking, "I never asked her to do that.
I never told her that. I never made up that rule. I never told her not to do that or that kind of thing. And here we are thinking that he's so pleased with us because we're doing all these wonderful right things. Hey, he's not even a part of it. We think we're getting closer to him, and we're separating ourselves from him because we're not walking in his will. We're now walking in our will. No good thing that we do can make him love us more. Can we get that through our heads? Not till we stand face to face. We can't make him love us more because he loved us when we were sinners, shaking our fist at him. His love doesn't change. He loves us. So if you read your Bible with 5 chapters a day, he's going to love you. And if you don't read it 5 chapters a day, he's going to love you. We can't earn. We can't change that. We can't do extra either. There's no extra credit in Christianity. There just isn't. And for some reason, we really think there is. There's extra credit. This is kind of the standard for everybody. Well, then, but I'm going to do these things, so I'm going to get more points or whatever it is in our minds. And yet, that isn't the case. We must simply follow after him and what he has commanded us to do, and walk in the simplicity and walk in the freedom that he has given us in our relationship with him. And then that will please him. We are complete in him. He is the head. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He must have the preeminence. It must be all about him. In this relationship that we have, he is it. It's all about him. He has the preeminence. Jesus is truly, he is Lord over all. Whether people acknowledge that or not, he is Lord over all. And he must be Lord over me. And when I am adding to, when I am making up my own rules, then he is not Lord over me. Because I am Lord over me, because I am making up my own rules. And when I take things away from my life that he hasn't taken away, he is no longer Lord over me. I'm Lord over me because I am saying what I can and can't have or do or say or eat or drink or whatever. Or if I'm making up something new, oh, well, now this is the way I'm supposed to be doing that. Oh, I'm supposed to have it all situated this way. When he hasn't told me to do that, then he's no longer Lord ruling over my life at that time. I am, because I've made these decisions thinking that I'm going to gain, thinking that I'm drawing closer to him. Legalism, mysticism, asceticism, all of those and more, it makes it all about me. It makes it all about me. It doesn't glorify the Lord. It's not exalting the Lord, those things. The focus, where is the focus? You're so concentrating on what you can and can't do, or you're concentrating on the who, do I feel it or do I not feel it, or the, you know, the incense or lighting of candles or, you know, whatever it might be, it makes it about us and not about him. And we need to put away those things, anything that would make it about us and not about him. Any rule that we have made up in our Christian walk. And maybe you have, if you have done the homework and your heart and mind have been on this passage and the Lord has been speaking to you, maybe you have already talked to him about this. And maybe he's already revealed a rule or two or three or four or five or however many in your life that he's already said, you know, that's your rule. That's not my rule. You need to get rid of that. But if that hasn't happened yet, it needs to happen. Have, Lord, search my heart. Do I have rules? Have I made up rules to make myself feel more spiritual, to make me think that I'm getting closer to you? Am I doing things that you haven't required me to do? You know, I've set this 5-chapter thing. Maybe he wants me to read 6. Maybe he wants me to read 2. Maybe he wants me to read 1 and sit and think about it for the rest of the time. And we make up these things. So any rule today that we have placed upon ourselves, we need to put away. We need to get rid of. Anything that makes us feel good about what we are doing in that sense. Anything that makes us feel better than someone else because we're doing it. We need to get rid of that. Paul says, don't let anyone judge you. So don't let anyone condemn you into it. But don't be the one that judges other people because they watch TV and you don't, or whatever it might be. Put them away. We need to put away any kind of idol worship, anything. And we all think, well, I don't worship angels, I don't worship all that kind of a thing. But, you know, we can get very superstitious sometimes. You know, put away all that stuff. Put away horoscopes. You know, maybe you used to be into it and you just kind of glance at it every night. Put it away. Put away all that, you know, the astrology and the stars and all the new moons and all that, and any kind of yoga or chanting or the touchy-feely kind of things. It's fine if it's not about you and it truly is something the Lord's, you know, had you do. But we can get in our own little mystical kind of things where my quiet time, I have to light the candle and I have to, you know, do the incense and I have to put on my red robe and then I can be in tune with the Lord. I mean, you know, some people can get into things like that, and it's perfectly fine to light a candle and spray something in your ear or whatever, but to do it in thinking now that I'm attaining some spiritual state or I'm better than someone else, we need to put it away. Any kind of thing like that, or any kind of ridiculous torturing of our flesh that the Lord has. We have to discipline our bodies. There's no doubt about that. Scripture teaches that. We're to live a very disciplined life. We're to live a holy life, but not to the extreme of some people go to, and not to do it thinking now that I am going to gain something or that I am better than someone else. All those don'ts that I have made up, you have made up, we need to put away. And we need to exalt Jesus more and more and more in our lives and in our thoughts and in our words. And get the focus off of self. Because again, all of these things the flesh loves. And they come in many different forms. And the flesh loves them. But when the flesh loves something, the focus is on self. We already think about ourselves way too much. This world, it pushes self on us. I mean, that, you know, that's what the whole, I don't know the word. I mean, when I was growing up, it wasn't so much so. But now it's so common, it's so accepting to all these things to be focused on us and not the Lord. And it's creeped into the church, it's been there, and it's settled in many spots in many people's lives. And it ought not to be. The focus needs to be on the Lord. Anything that takes our eyes away from the Lord in a church service, or in our personal lives, or any service to the Lord, it needs to go. We need to have the focus and on Jesus and to exalt Him. You know, a little concern that I have had in this kind of thing is our younger generation now, not all of them, but there's a pocket of them, because of the way this world has been with that focus on self. And maybe they're not so much in the legalistic or the asceticism, but it's more of the mysticism kind of a thing, more of that kind of feeling thing. And there's a pocket in there that they don't even realize that the focus is on themselves. and even some of the worship that has come into the church as a whole, the writings are focused on self. The songs are more about self. They're great. Some of them are great songs, and I'm not saying you throw everything out. But when there's a big wave of them, let's be careful. One of them, and I don't want to ruin this song for you, but one of those songs is "He Knows My Name." At first, when I heard that song, "He Knows My Name," it's like, yeah, oh, thank you, Lord, you know my name. And I thought, wait a minute, what am I thinking about while I sing that song? Maybe you don't. What am I thinking about? I am thinking about me, that He knows my name, kind of a thing. So, I don't know. I don't want to stumble anyone with my pet peeves, but the old hymns, they are all about the Lord. Now, sometimes this newer generation too, it's like they sing songs about how weak they are and how desperate they are. We're all weak. We're all desperate, and it's a great thing. The people, we've always been weak. We've always been desperate. But those hymns, rather than focusing on how weak and desperate we are, and let's sing about that, it's let's exalt the Lord. Let's get our eyes off ourselves and on to the Lord. Anything in our lives that is taking our eyes off of Jesus needs to go. And this is kind of just moving right into next week's lesson, too, with setting our minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth. But this legalism, any form in our lives whatsoever, any kind of mysticism, any kind of that asceticism, that torturing of self, if that is a part of our lives at all today, in the smallest way, we need to get rid of it. It's self-imposed religion. It's false humility. Get our eyes off of that. And get our eyes on the King of Kings, our eyes on Jesus, who took and fulfilled those things and nailed them to the cross. It must always, always, all day, every day, be about Jesus, not about us. Let's retrain our minds and focus on Him and exalt Him and glorify Him. And Father, just thank You again for Your word and the warnings of Your word. And I pray that You would protect us from the dangers of those without, those enemies that would come in and trick us and deceive us, and those things also, Lord, that appeal to our flesh, that would pull us into any kind of bondage, or that would take our eyes off of You on to ourselves. And Father, will You forgive us for those things that, those rules that we have made up, those rituals that we have put together, those things that we have been torturing ourselves with that You haven't asked us to do. Cleanse us, Lord. Make us new. And teach us and help us to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on You. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the one who conquered sin and death. In You all things consist. You hold everything together. We want You to have the preeminence. We want You to be Lord over our lives and none of these other things, Lord. Pray that we would go out in the power of Your strength and Your might, and that we would stand fast in the liberty that You've given us, the freedom that we have. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.